This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's call Paul and talk some Packers, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Our Green and Gold analyst joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Paul, apparently, at least according to Rob Domofsky, he is saying, hey, Packers are going to spend money on maybe not one, but two pass rushers and then let the chips fall where they may. So, first and foremost, we'll start there. Give me your thoughts on the Packers looking to jump into the free agent market and spend some money.
Number one, I mean, from a Packers fan's perspective, I'm sure you're saying, thank goodness. It doesn't take much, I think, to see that that is the deficiency of this team. There's plenty of holes in the roster, but that is clearly, I think, first and foremost to many people. And again, I think we became, and I include myself in this, so trained under the leadership of Ted Thompson to think that free agency is just not a part of how you get better. And last year, Brian Gutekunst had some good swings and some bad misses, and what would Wilkerson have been if not for the injury? Yeah, it seemed like a good signing through a couple games before the injury. Jimmy Graham, maybe some mixed returns. You know, so you're never going to be, and in fact, you're going to fail more in free agency than you are going to succeed. But there's a certain level, I think, aggression that Packers fans are demanding in a lot of ways to see from Brian Gutekunst, and I think he is that type of GM. He is that type of person where, yes, you build through the draft. He's very clear about that, but at the same time, he is not going to ignore free agency like Ted Thompson did. I saw Rob Domofsky's tweet. Of course, the first thing I did is try to pull up and see, okay, well, let's just see if there's a consensus on the type of pass rushes that might be available. Jadeveon Clowney, not going anywhere. Sounds like if there's a worst-case scenario, that's a franchise-take situation. Bill, you mentioned the other day about Grady Jarrett. He's not an edge rusher, but he is ranked as the number three overall by NFL.com free agent this offseason. Can he make some havoc inside? Maybe. Dee Ford will probably get tagged by Kansas City. He's probably not going anywhere. Frank Clark is ranked as the number eight overall free agency, and he's an edge rusher out of Seattle. There's options, Bill, that you, if you really want to go spend money, you could. And I would couple that by saying that I also saw Tom Silverstein's tweet from about 40 minutes ago that said David Dunn, the agent for Clay Matthews, and Russ Ball, the lead negotiator for the Packers, are meeting in Indianapolis today.
Right.
And the good bet is, if you look at the client list, that they are talking about Clay Matthews and the possibility of a new contract. Now, maybe it's to bring him inside and pair him with Blake Martinez, and maybe re-signing or not re-signing Clay Matthews, you're not even thinking of him as an edge rusher, or maybe he's like a hybrid guy like he did so well, 4 years ago when he made the unexpected switch inside after that one bye week. So I think my first thought was, thank goodness that there's at least an active attempt to address this, and then you have to go out into the market and see which of these stud edge rushers are not going to be tagged or are not going to be brought back, and which one can you maybe get your hands on, and then if you can't get your hands on them, how much do you have to overpay to do it? Because again, if like kind of like how Nick Perry 2 years ago was considered the best edge rusher in the class, 2 years later, looking at that, you're probably going to have to cut him and take a whole bunch of dead money. Sounds like the Packers are prepared to probably part ways with Nick Perry, even though it's going to cost them several million dollars on their dead cap just to let him go and not keep him. Now, but when you're the best player on your class at your position, you're going to have to sometimes overpay to get that guy, as they did with Perry 2 years ago, and you might have to do now. But again, the fact that they're addressing it, they're edge rushing right now, like on paper today, consists of Kyler Fackrell and Reggie Gilbert, and that's pretty much the end of the list. And obviously you're not going to go into a season without, some more studs at those spots if you can help it. And so I think this is at least step one of Gutekunst being aggressive and starting to have these conversations with agents.
I like the fact that they're going after a position in free agency that you can't just plug a guy in from the draft and say, okay, we're better. Edge rusher is not that position. I mean, you can bring a guy in from the draft and solidify your offensive line. You can get a guy that can be better in the secondary, such as a safety. But an edge rusher, that's a skill. That's somebody that develops over time. And I think that that's telling you there is a definite sense of urgency to kind of get this defense right. So I don't know what to make of the whole discussion when it comes to Clay Matthews. I think the only way I'm bringing Clay back, substantially less money, obviously, but if he's a two-down guy playing the middle, that's the way I'm doing it. I'm not, you know, after watching Mitch Trubisky outrun him last year, I'm not that guy that believes in Clay Matthews. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can bring him from different areas, and he did get home a few times last year, but it's nowhere near as consistent as it used to be in the past. So I think he's more of a middle guy and maybe a little bit of a coverage guy at best.
A specialist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably a specialist, and I'm sure he's somebody that, you know, if I was in Mike Patton's shoes and I wasn't the guy that had to worry about the dollar figures – and, you know, Brian Gutekunst or Russ Ball called me and said, hey, I'm meeting with Clay Matthews' agent, just want to give you a heads up. If I was Mike Patton, I'd say, get him signed.
Right.
Not because I expect in Mike Patton, not because I'm like, hey, I think 2011 Clay Matthews is going to show up again. No, I mean, it's been a couple of years, if not longer, depending on how harshly you're grading Clay Matthews in recent years. I mean, it's been a couple of years at the least since you've really seen him be the guy that was in every commercial, you know, like the stud of the NFL from a pass rushing perspective. But that doesn't mean he can't bring you value as a specialist if used correctly. I think if the Packers had done a better job over the past 5 years of adding to their pass rushing collection, I think that Capers and Petten would have made Matthews a specialist a long time ago. But they just were so depleted and such a deficit at edge rush that I wonder if that forced the decision to keep Clay Matthews there more than anything. You know what I mean? More than like the actual desire of believing he can be a good player there, but you just don't have anybody else because if it's not Matthews, you know, you're plugging in Reggie Gilbert, who at this point is, you know, an exciting prospect to some extent, but is more of a preseason phenomenon than anything. So, so I'm Bill. I mean, like, I don't know, $4 or $5 million of, you know, for 1 year. I'd be, you know, if you told me tomorrow that Matthews is back on a 2-year, $9 million contract, I'd be like, that's a good move. You know, now if it was, you know, 2 years and $22 million, I'd say, what the hell is going on? So there's that fine line of his value, but I think as a specialist, and like you said, a two-down player who is kind of moving around inside, outside, who only plays 40% of the snaps every game, I'd take Clay Matthews for $5 million a year to play that type of role, you know? But again, that's as long as you have your expectations in check. I think you can. I think there's good reason to think that it's a good move if your expectations are where they should be.
Where he's at in his career. We were sitting here talking earlier about the possibility of taking an offensive player or two, even with your first couple of picks in the draft. Look, if I'm the Packers, I know that there's some people that say you got to go defense, and I get it. But hey, if you get a couple of offensive linemen that fall to you, or an offensive lineman and a tight end that falls to you, I don't care. I'm grabbing it. I mean, I think at this point in time, you're looking at holes to fill, and you are desperate for depth in that offensive line.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because I think the struggle when anybody talks about the draft is there's this idea that, like, well, they need an edge rusher, or they need a tight end, or they need it, like, and then people kind of get excited about certain names, and at the same time, if the Packers were to take an offensive lineman with the 12th pick, people would say, well, what the hell? Like, what do you, you know, this is not the biggest area of need. You got to go defense. You got to go defense. But, like, when these drafts unfold and you have guys in certain tiers, like, if you had five players on the board that all were ranked, like, identically to each other, they were all sitting in the same tier on your draft board, and one is an edge rusher, and one is a safety, and one is a corner, and one is a quarterback, and one is a tight end. And you said, okay, these guys are all the exact same player. We don't have them graded any differently. Well, then you go to the position that you need more, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you're going to look at that, you're going to say, well, defense is such a big area of need that, you know what, we're not even going to consider that tight end who fell. We're not even going to consider that offensive lineman who fell. You don't do that. Like, that's just poor draft strategy. So, you know, if you said, you know, Bill, you leave that first night of the draft, you know, granted they have two picks, which has not happened since the Raji Matthews draft of 9 years ago, since they've had two first-round picks in the draft. And if they leave there with, you know, two offensive players or one offensive and one defensive, and then people would start to call you and say, what a terrible first round of the draft. They had to go defense. Like, no, pump the brakes. Like, this team is you know, this team has talent issues more than just on defense. And if you're going to pass up on better talent just because they don't play a position you need, I think you're doing yourself and your franchise a disservice. So, no, I mean, if the right tight end is there in the second round, if the right tight end is there or offensive lineman is there with the 30th pick, you know, the pick that they get from the Saints,
right?
Go do it. Like, yes, you have to address defense, but kind of like back to your first question about Gutekunst and free agency and Rob Domofsky's tweet and about free agency and meeting with these edge rushers. If you're going to draft a guy at a position of need and expect him to, like, from day one be your best player at that position, like, every once in a while it happens. Jaire Alexander came in and from day one as a rookie was pretty much their best corner. Now, that isn't maybe saying much because that position was so depleted, but if you're going to expect that as an edge rusher or as a tight end or anywhere else, you're going to say, hey, if you have to come in and be awesome from day one, you're setting yourself up for failure, which is why you always consider, you know, how highly you have these guys ranked. And if you go with an offensive player, I mean, geez, they need to grow a tight end. They haven't had a homegrown tight end talent since Finley's career-ending injury. They obviously, whether it's this year or next year, need to replace Bulaga. They need to upgrade the right guard position this year or even, you know, next year, I guess, if they want to plug and play another year with somebody else. But, defense is a bigger concern, but you have to have a smart strategy when you go on this. And if you're just completely, you know, avoiding offensive players, you're going to get yourself in trouble and get a bunch of poor draft classes, I think we saw with Thompson in his last few years.
Paul, good stuff as always. Enjoy the weekend. We'll chat again next week after the combine culminates, okay?
Hey, Bill, real quick, how much did you talk about earlier in the week this whole Aaron Rodgers can plays thing? I'm not sure if you read the ESPN.com article about that. Very interesting stuff where basically LaFleur is going to give Rodgers two plays, one run, run pass, and he can choose which one to run, which one to use, as opposed to Rodgers having as much audible ability at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
I'm not sure if you've read that or have talked about it, but I read that and I was like, it almost seems like they're grounding Rodgers and they're saying, listen, buddy.
No, I agree. I thought it was interesting when he talked about Aaron being competitive and thinking of his legacy and such. I thought, okay, that's great. But on the opposite side of the coin, they also said, look, we don't have a lot of audibles. There aren't a lot of options here. And he said, you know, Aaron and I'll work at it. Now, I think they're going to bring Aaron in to say, here's what we want to do. But when he described it as, well, it's kind of like you go to a bad restaurant, you have one bad meal, you're not going to go back and order the same meal. So in other words, Aaron, you probably had a play or two you didn't like, so you wouldn't go back to that every time it was called. No, you're going to go back to it. That to me was probably a strong statement, basically in saying, look, we're going to give him a couple of options, but he's going to run what we want him to run. I have a methodology that basically sets up the offense. This is not Aaron's offense to judge. It's Aaron's offense to run.
And that, I mean, it's some tough love. I found it pretty interesting.
Yeah, I did too. And it's, again, you know, if he's in contact with Aaron and they've already hashed that out, that's great. But if Aaron's reading that for the first time, he might be going, huh, okay. And right. We'll see how things work out. It's I can't wait for camps to get here. There's no doubt.
Yeah, same.
All right, buddy.
All right, well, cool. All right, man, we'll talk.
Enjoy the weekend.
Sure.
Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.